This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Mark Brown. Mark is with Plains Cotton Growers in Lubbock, and we'll talk about the state of cotton in just a moment. First off, let's talk about the state of the National 4-H program. It's actually overseen by USDA. Shannon Jorillo is with the National Institute of Food and Ag.
We're over 100 years old, and 4-H is USDA's flagship positive youth development and education program, and it's implemented by over 110 land-grant colleges and universities in the United States through the Cooperative Extension System. And 4-H is for everyone. There's over 6 million young people in 4-H in our rural, urban, and suburban communities. And the program is delivered by over 3,500 cooperative extension professionals through the support of over 500,000 volunteers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, joined today by Mark Brown. Mark is Director of Field Services with Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Yes, sir, Tony. It's always good to visit with you. Looking forward to the discussion.
Well, all eyes right now on the cotton planting that's happening. We already know that it moves north as the calendar, every time we flip the calendar over, that planting moves a little further north. And We've had some early estimates. National Cotton Council had an early estimate in February. USDA has had their estimate out now since the end of March. But at the end of the day, isn't it Mother Nature that's going to have a role in saying how many acres are actually planted?
Well, there's certainly no doubt about that. Whenever we think about the fact that in our service area of the 42 northernmost counties in the state, here throughout Plains Cotton Growers service area, we know that typically we plant 50 to 55% of the state's acreage. And as we continue to watch the skies and continue to be very hopeful for rainfall, we know that at least for the next several days, our chances for rain are still pretty minimal. And we do still have some time. I would tell you that currently as we're visiting, I'm in the pickup and I'm down in the southeastern part of our service area. I'm actually down in Dickens County at Spur, Texas. And in Spur, they actually have until June the 20th to be able to get cotton planting established in order for it to still be an insurable crop. So we've got time as we're looking at that. However, a lot of our counties up in the northern panhandle have a May 31st deadline. And so I know that there's still a lot of field work that needs to be done. We think that it's going to take not just one good rain, but it's going to take multiple rains to get a good start and get this crop off and running. But, you know, as one of our leaders on our executive committee reminded everyone just the other day, you know, we've been in this situation many times before, and you never know how it's going to turn out, but oftentimes we get that rain that is needed, and we are able to get a start, and then it continues to be timely. I keep thinking back to the year of 2021, whenever we were in such a dry situation, and then we did get rain there toward the end of the planting period, and we had to scramble to get a crop established, and didn't have a lot of underground moisture, and as we went on through the season, when we needed rain, we seemed to be able to get it. And so we were very fortunate in that, even though we didn't have an excessive amount of rainfall that year, we had timely rains, and that's what is so critical on a cotton crop. Tony, whenever we also look at our other factors that are impact cotton, of course, soil temperatures, ambient air temperatures, and then we have to put winds in there. This has been an extremely windy year. I was looking at the National Weather Service websites for Amarillo, Lubbock, and Midland this morning. You know, since January, And every month we have logged at least a peak gust of 54 miles per hour, with the highest being that gust that we had in Lubbock of 77 miles per hour back in late February, I believe. So, you know, we've had excessive winds. That's made it very difficult on this dry topsoil. And then finally, as we talked about, our soil temperature conditions, and currently soil temperatures are looking good. They are relatively warm all across our whole area, but I do want to remind people that even though the mesquite trees and the pecan trees are budded out and grape vineyards are leafing out, we do have a forecast this weekend of near freezing temperatures in Lubbock. And so it still is something that's on everybody's mind. And I would remind people that in terms of cotton planting, that we want to see a five-day forecast with daytime temperatures above 80 and nighttime temperatures above 50. And we don't want to start planting cotton, if we can avoid it at all, until the soil temperatures in that seed zone are in the 60-degree range. And I know that, as we mentioned, those northernmost counties, oftentimes they get pressed for time, and so they may have to push that just a little bit. But hopefully we will be able to get some rain in here and get off to a good start. I guess the last thing I would say in terms of planting is that I might mention the four different planting dates that we have for the Plains Cotton Growers area. As I've already said, those counties in the northwestern panhandle all the way down to Lamb County, those dates have a May 31st planting deadline for cotton to be fully insured. And then whenever we look at the next tier of counties, that would be the Hale and Lubbock County tier that goes all the way down to Gaines County. That is a June 5th deadline, so we've got a little more time there. And then down south of Lubbock, those counties have a June 10th deadline. And as I also mentioned, too, in regard to Dickens County down on the Rolling Plains and in Motley County, those folks have a June 20th deadline. And so we've still got time. We're still very hopeful for rainfall, and we're going to continue to pray and ask for rain as the good Lord sees fit, and just hope that He'll bless us with a good crop this year.
You know, Mark, we're covering a lot of ground here, but one of the things we might not think about very often is when we do see a reduction in cotton acres, there are problems with growing. Congress, USDA, has been pretty good about helping out cotton producers, but yes, it doesn't always help those that are part of the industry and maybe not there on the front line. I'm talking about the infrastructure. Is there any hope for gins and for others within the industry?
Well, Tony, there is hope currently. We are actually working on some legislation through the state office right now, because we know that last year was just an unprecedented year. Actually, the loss in production, it exceeded the losses that we had in the 2011 epic drought year. And of course, up to that point, 2011 had kind of been the benchmark for drought losses. We exceeded that in 2022, and we just are starting out the year for 23 very dry as well. So currently we are working on some legislation that is being carried on the Senate side by Senator Charles Perry, and then on the House side by Representative Cecil Bell. And we appreciate the work that they are doing. My understanding is that this legislation has made it through the Senate and been voted on. Now will be carried to conference committee. And our CEO Cody Bessent will be down in Austin this week, and he'll be continuing to work on that legislation. And this would be a one-time block grant assistance program for the infrastructure, because we know that the GNs have been hit so hard. There were many of the GNs in our service area that, because of such a short crop last year, they did not even open the doors. And so this would be some one-time only assistance, and we hope that we're successful in obtaining that. And we know that it takes a huge amount of money for these GNs to operate. And with the kind of assistance that we're talking about, up to a maximum of $500,000 per entity, which sounds like a lot of money to you and me, but for a GN, it's not all that much money. But we hope that it will be enough to be a good boost or a good shot in the arm, and to be able to help some GNs survive and continue to stay in business, because we know that we're kind of at a critical level in terms of infrastructure. We know that cotton is really not a marketable crop until it's been processed and is packaged in the bale. And so it's very critical that we maintain a good, healthy infrastructure. And that's what we're hoping for with this rider on agricultural disaster relief at the State House.
So, Mark, there's just a minute left here, but I think you set it up perfectly. If those GNs, if that infrastructure goes away, what happens to rural communities?
Well, that's a very good point. You know, one of the reasons that it's so important to maintain the health of the farm community is because that feeds directly into the rural areas of the United States. And we know that not only farm production, but also these GNs have produce millions of dollars, actually billions of dollars of income, which goes directly, first of all, into those rural economies. And so it's very important to maintain the health of the agricultural system, because it definitely trickles down throughout the U.S.
Mark Brown is Director of Field Services for Plains Cotton Growers. You can find Plains Cotton Growers, PCG, online, plainscotton.org. That's plainscotton.org. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Mark Brown with Plains Cotton Growers.
I'm Tucker Brown, a sixth-generation rancher, and I plan on seeing you at the 2023 Hemp Hill County Beef Cattle Conference, April 25th and 26th in Canadian, Texas, sponsored by Capital Farm Credit. As a young rancher, there are many challenges, and this event gives me powerful information, resources, and network opportunities to keep the ranch in the family and the family in the ranch. Register today online at Hemp Hill County Beef Conference website or call 806-323-9114.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Mark Brown from Plains Cotton Growers, special guest online, plainscotton.org.
There's a tradition down here in the South, a tradition of hard work, a tradition of straight talk. For more than 100 years, Delta Pine Cotton has been a proud part of that tradition. With proven yield potential and genetics you won't find anywhere else, Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with Strong Cotton from Delta Pine Brand. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
United Ag is one of the largest association health plans to offer health care benefits for the agricultural industry. Their mission is to bring innovative health care solutions to agriculture by meeting their members' employee benefit needs. Join today and take advantage of the premier benefits offered by United Ag. United Ag is committed to contributing to a strong and healthy ag industry. For more information or to join, visit www.unitedag.org.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
How can you help prevent invasive plant pests and diseases from spreading, and in turn, protect our nation's food and resources from damage? USDA Undersecretary for Marketing and Regulatory Programs Jenny Moffitt says in addition to the basic,
look for and report signs of pests and disease in your own region, in your own state.
There are other tips to keep in mind during this invasive plant pest and disease awareness month or any time of year.
Not moving untreated firewood. Instead, really look to buy firewood in the region in which you're planning on burning it. When returning from travel overseas, it's really important to declare all agricultural items, which includes seed, the soil, and other handicrafts as well, because they might contain invasive pests that we don't know about. Don't mail homegrown plants, fruits, and vegetables to other areas because they also might unknowingly have a pest on it that will introduce that pest to a different region of the country.
I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.